Welcome to the first Virginia Athletics podcast for the summer of 2018. I'm your host, Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com. The NBA playoffs ended last week, but basketball is pretty much a year-round sport these days, and things are about to crank up again at John Paul Jones Arena for the UVA men's team. My guest today is one of Tony Bennett's coaches, and that's Orlando Vandross. Oh, thanks for coming by. It's always good to talk UVA hoops.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So things are quiet today. Well, relatively quiet here in University Hall, except for this field hockey camp that's going on. But that's not the case across the street where you work at JPJ. The NBA Players Association's Top 100 camp is underway, and that means many of the nation's top high school players are here in Charlottesville. However, that does not necessarily give UVA the recruiting advantage that many people might expect. Can you fill in listeners on the rules concerning access for the event, you know, which is, has been at UVA for like a decade now, I think?
Well, the NCAA doesn't allow us as coaches and recruiters to actually interact with any of the student athletes in terms of evaluating them,
right,
or having any type of contact.
So you can't go in the main gym when they're playing, or maybe at all.
All I go, when it comes to JPJ, I go directly to my office. I can't go into the arena.
What, though, is it a positive for the program, do you think, overall, just having the kids on grounds like that, and they can stay after and talk to you, right, if they do it on their own dime?
Yes. It's a positive, to answer your question, because they get to spend at least 3 or 4 days here in on grounds as well as in JPJ. And normally after when the camp is concluded, the day after, they are able to spend time with us, and we're able to contact them and show them grounds as well.
So you're heading into your fourth season on Coach Bennett's staff. For your first 3 years, your title was Director of Recruiting and Player Development. Then when Ron Sanchez left Virginia this spring to become head coach at UNC Charlotte, you moved up to assistant coach, which is a familiar role for you. You were an assistant for 13 years at Boston University, three of them as associate head coach, and for 5 years at Charlotte. What's it been like for you getting back on the court during practice and getting back on the road recruiting?
It's been great. But prior to that, I really enjoyed my time in my role as director of recruiting and player development, because it gave me a chance to learn the game and the way we do it here at UVA in a different way.
Right.
And now that I have that knowledge, I'm able to just slide right in and apply what I know actually from being around the program for three years previously to this role. It's given me a little more insight. I'm excited to be back on the court. It's kind of recharged my batteries a little bit since I wasn't on the court, and I'm excited to be able to work with the guys again.
I know the rules are changing a little bit this year, but in the past, there were several members of the staff who were not allowed on the court during practice. That had to be tough, isn't it? Because your instinct to get out there, work with the players, get on the court, drill them. And
it's challenging, but you find ways to get involved. I think Coach Bennett and the staff overall always have found ways to involve me via through, you know, some of our staff meetings, things of that nature, in practice, asking what I saw, things of that nature. But it's challenging, but it's also you find a different way. It becomes a new normal,
right,
for me in that role.
Your boss at BU was Dennis Wolf, who's a former UVA assistant, and your colleagues there included our own Jason Williford, who's from Richmond and played ball here for Jeff Jones. Mm-hmm. Did you hear much about UVA back then from Dennis and or Jay?
It's kind of like two bookends. Before Jay Willie joined the staff at Boston University, I heard a lot of the UVA stories or memories that Dennis Wolf had. And then when Jay Willie came in, it was kind of funny, one from a coaching perspective and then one from a player perspective. And so I never set foot on grounds, but I got a really good basically history lesson of what UVA and UVA basketball is all about.
Jason's been on this show a number of times, and you guys go way, way back. He tells me that when he stopped playing professionally and decided to go into coaching, I guess he contacted Dennis about that position, which was then restricted earnings. Dennis told him, instructed him to get to Indianapolis, where the Final Four was being held, and to meet you there. And that was back in 2000. That's Jason's version, at least. What was your first impression of Jason? So at that point, he's 18 years younger than he is now. And you are too.
My first impression. A guy comes in, and we're at a restaurant, and he's about 6'5", 6'6", good-looking dude, and comes in, hey, I'm Jason Williford. I knew I was supposed to meet Jason because Dennis tipped me off and said, where are you? And I said, I'm about to meet some friends, and we're going to, I think it was a coach's meeting. But to make a long story short, I rerouted myself, obviously, because Dennis was my boss, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And I met with Jason, and for some strange odd reason, you meet some people and you just hit it off. And Jason and I, from day one, we were able to just connect and hit it off. And it's been a tremendous friendship, as you know, not just a working relationship, but a friendship as well.
Your players are starting to trickle back into town. Summer workouts start next week at JPJ. There are a lot of familiar names: Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, Mamadi Diakite, DeAndre Hunter, Jack Salt, to name a few, as well as four players who are new to the program: Cody Statman, Kihei Clark, Francisco Cafaro, if I'm saying that right. Mm-hmm. Those guys are incoming freshmen, and then Braxton Key, who's a transfer from Alabama. Can you give us kind of scouting reports on the newcomers? And I know you haven't worked really with the freshmen yet extensively.
Well, I think each guy is going to bring something that we need to bolster our roster. I think all of them are talented, but they all have different skill sets. We'll start with Braxton Key. He has a SEC pedigree, so to speak. Mm-hmm. He's played at the collegiate level, and he's gotten things done in the game. So we're going to need his experience and his productivity when it comes to his ability to defend multiple positions, right, rebound the ball, and just his overall experience. He's physically prepared to play in a college game, and that's something that we wanted to kind of supplement what we're doing here.
Is he comparable? I know some people have made the comparison to DeAndre just because of their size. They're similar heights, maybe similar weights.
There's a lot of similarities.
Are their games similar at all?
There's a lot of similarities in terms of size and the length. The games are very similar. He is more face-up. Mm-hmm. And I think his ability to share the basketball and go get it off the glass is something that he does really well. DeAndre's in the same mold. It's just that's what, you know, Braxton's going to be able to do for us, and in my opinion, when he gets here at UVA.
What about the first-year guys, Cody, Kihei, and Francisco?
Cody Statman is an elite-level shooter. His ability to stretch the defense, and he's got great size, so he can be able to shoot over the some defenders. So we're really excited about his future. Kihei Clark is a point guard's point guard. He has a feel, and he sees things before it happens. And I think people are going to be surprised, even though he's I don't know what his legitimate size is, but he will be able to change the pace of the game because he can get down the floor and get downhill and get somebody else a shot, if not finish at the rim a little bit, if not shoot an open shot. He has a very good IQ in terms of the offensive style of play that we have.
And then Francisco is playing right now for Argentina in the U18. What's it called, the Tournament of the Americas or something like that. And he's had some real good games. I know that people have said he's still kind of raw, but he's a big athletic body, isn't he?
Absolutely. We call him affectionately Big Poppy. And one thing that he's going to bring to the table, he's going to bring the physicality of a Jack Salt with the hope that he can be able to finish around the rim, more importantly, defend and rebound, which is the highest priority in what we do. But I think his upside is the fact that he's physical and he's going to be able to finish around the rim. And I think people will be excited about his future.
I don't think it's any secret that DeAndre Hunter is on the radar of NBA teams. And he may, if things go well this coming season, you know, he may well put his name in the draft next year. He was the ACC's sixth man of the year, 2017-18. He'll have a bigger role this coming season with Devin gone and Zay gone. What's the next step for him as a player? You know, he obviously has dreams of playing at the highest level. He's got that potential. What are you hoping to see from him this coming season?
I think this year he's going to probably step into a role where he's going to have to be the guy and make plays in crucial situations. I think he's done it in small, incremental parts of the game. But I think from a consistency and always the guy, everyone's going to do their part, but he's going to be the focal point of what we're doing. He's going to have to be prepared to carry, you know, us in some games.
Do you think he's aware that? I'm sure you guys talked. Coach Bennett talked to him after the season. I mean, he knows Moore will be – he'll be – I mean, he's going to have a bullseye this year, too.
If
he snuck up on people last season, you know, it's not going to happen.
It's not a secret anymore in terms of his ability. But I think Coach Bennett and I as a staff in particular will definitely help him. But I know Coach Bennett has already started planting some seeds in terms of preparing for the season, how this is going to go for him this second time around as a player.
The coaches get back out on the road – in, I think, 3 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. Recruiting can be a grind, everyone says, but everyone I talk to says that it's not only something you're good at, it's something you really enjoy. What do you like about the whole recruiting process?
It's an easy answer, but it's I don't want to make it too long. I just like the chase in terms of figuring out or evaluating the kid's ability mm-hmm. and does it fit our style of play. I enjoy that. I enjoy connecting with student athletes and the families and see if we're a fit. And the actual process of actually seeing a kid come to your university or for your program, mm-hmm. start to finish, is something that I always marvel at. And lets me know that if we're doing the right things, if this young man comes here and has success, it's always rewarding for me.
You're from Brockton, Massachusetts, about 25 miles south of Boston. What was it like growing up there?
You're doing a lot of research.
Yeah,
here, man.
And you still got family there, too, right?
Yes, my dad still lives there. My brother lives there. I grew up in a neighborhood that was really diverse. It's really – I don't want to say – it was tough. It was very a middle-class family neighborhood that I grew up in. The city's very demanding, very competitive school that I went to in terms of athletics. So I always know what it's like to be a part of a team. We've had some famous people,
boxers,
Rocky Marciano, and then
Marvin Hagler.
A guy by the name of Marvin Hagler that we grew up watching and was from my area. So it's a very unique city.
So I did some research, of course. Rocky Marciano died in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing you never saw him around town, but Marvin Hagler is still alive. Did he make it back to Brockton at all when you were growing up?
Ironically, he's not too far from the neighborhood we grew up in that I seen Marvin Hagler. His mother and the rest of his family, we all are part of the same church back in Brockton.
Wow.
My brother's a pastor, and so my brother is the pastor of Marvin Hagler's mother. So I get to see him when he comes home. He actually lives in Italy.
He was a bad man.
He was the real, in terms of a boxer, the real deal.
All right, here's my favorite part of it. Of course, the Brockton High School teams are called the Boxers. So what's the logo?
It's actually a dog.
It's
a boxer dog.
Oh, so it's not?
It's not the actual stance of a Rocky Marciano or Marvin Hagler. It's actually a dog.
All right. I found a quote from your high school coach back when you play, who had nothing but good things to say about you. He said, even when your teammates were goofing off, as high school kids will do, you were always locked in, and he said you were kind of the classic coach on the floor. At what point did you start thinking about making coaching a profession?
I don't know the exact time, but I knew I always wanted to be around the game in some capacity. Mm-hmm. I think after I graduated and I started – working a traditional 9-to-5 job.
What was that?
I was actually, long story short, I was a gym teacher.
Okay.
And I enjoyed that so much, but I still felt like something is missing, and I wanted to get back into basketball in some capacity. So I was able to volunteer at my own high school as my first high school coaching job. And from there, that just increase my interest in doing something different and challenging myself to try to advance in this business.
Last season did not end the way anybody associated with this program, you know, expected it to or wanted it to. Is that something that can really kind of drive players throughout the offseason and next season? I mean, will that be a motivating factor throughout the year, or can that be overstated?
I think it's going to be a driving force for us this year, not just only the players, but the coaches as well. Obviously, we had high expectations going into the tournament, and unfortunately it didn't work the way we wanted to. And so to make it right, so to speak, we're going to try to do everything we can from day one of practice until whatever the last game may be. But we're going to try to do everything we can to get better and pursue excellence around here.
How important, I mean, the NCAA has become, I think, more flexible with the summer rules in recent years, and you can do more with the players than you used to. What's the importance of this summer stretch that's about to begin for the players where they're in the gym, not only working out on their own, but with the coaches?
I think it's obviously reconnected with our players as much as we can. And one thing we do is we try to attack the weaknesses, things that we need to improve on, and see if we can address that as much as we can this summer, and then mesh that within what we do as a team, as a unit. It's going to be an important part of what we're doing this year.
One final question. You have a lot of connections in the basketball world. The NBA draft is next Thursday night. What are you hearing about Devin Hall's, you know, prospects? I talked to him the other day and did a story on him, and you know, he's starting to show up on mock drafts, you know, pretty consistently, like late in the second round.
Well, the feedback I've been receiving and hearing is that they love his ability to shoot the ball. They love his leadership qualities. He seems like he's a good teammate, and he's definitely on the radar of most NBA teams. So I'm projecting, in my opinion, from what I'm hearing, maybe somewhere in the second round. I don't know exactly where, how high, or whatever, but I think he has a great shot to get drafted.
Last season, there were five former UVA players on NBA rosters: Mike Scott, Joe Harris, Malcolm, Justin Anderson, and London, who was a two-way guy with the Cavaliers. In recruiting in particular, the large majority of players dream of making it to the NBA. How much does it help, you know, particularly when you're going after these, you know, more elite kids, when you can point to guys in the NBA?
Oh, it's a big, it's a huge help, because the way information is so easy to access, people are aware of what we're doing. And sometimes it's not even selling, because it's common knowledge for some of these knowledgeable student athletes and families. They know that we are developing our players. And sometimes when these kids come into our program, they're not the highly rated or whatever, and they see the development. So they have a lot of respect for what we're doing.
Well, good. Well, thanks again for coming over. It's always good to have another Celtics fan on this podcast. Look forward to having you back on once the studio moves over your way to JPJ. It'll be a shorter walk for you, but I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
This is a slow time of year, obviously, for Virginia athletics, but it won't be long before the action starts picking up again. For information on all 27 of our teams, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back soon with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.